Hello, welcome to a new episode of the Wet Palette Podcast. Today, I'm recording the first of a new series that will be slowly developed and built into this podcast. It usually takes me a while to write up detailed restaurant reviews on the blog. So much to say, so little time. But thanks to the power of podcasting, I can now bring you a quicker look at my thoughts on my recently visited restaurants. On Instagram, it usually goes a little something like this. I post a play-by-play of a dinner with photos and videos, and you, the diner, message me immediately to find out what I thought. Never fails. I then reply with a couple of sentences stating what I liked, disliked, etc. I get it. You have questions. Luckily, I have the answers. I do tend to visit quite a bit of spots on a monthly basis, so the goal will be to get these thoughts out once a month ends as a quick roundup. I can't promise I will get to them all, but I will certainly try. To make this a little bit more entertaining, I have enlisted the help of my dining partner in crime, the Hubs. Welcome to the podcast, honey.
Hey, everybody. This is Lawrence, and I am the Hubs, as described by the Wet Palette here.
Yes.
And I'm happy to join and to give my thoughts, which are very often very different than Brenda's. And I'm excited. Let's get this done.
Woo! But before we begin, I would like to remind you of my no filter policy around here. If you think I can dish it, wait until you get to know Lawrence. We don't always agree on what we like, as he said, and don't, but I suppose that makes it a little bit more realistic and entertaining for you, the listener. We also sometimes banter and bicker with heavy sarcasm, but have no fear, it's all good. It's just our style. Ready?
Let's do it.
Woo! Today we will go through seven restaurants. Seven, right? One, two, yeah, seven. We were lucky to dine in this past January. Those are Zitsum, Michael's Genuine, Osaka, Fiola, New, Mandolin, and Sunny's Steakhouse. Here we go. First up, Zitsum. This was the third time we visited Zitsum. What would you like to say about that?
Oh, I absolutely love this restaurant. There isn't that many restaurants that I can go to that strike me right from the get-go. I remember when the first time that you took me to Boya De, immediately fell in love with that restaurant. The funny part is Zitsum wasn't like that, I believe. And I just, in full disclosure, I don't have the memory that Brenda does. I don't have the details that Brenda does. This is not my passion. It's her passion.
I only have it because it's on my phone.
But anyway, so she will be correcting me a lot and reminding me of a lot of different things. And I'll often confuse restaurants and meals and so forth. But if I recall correctly, the first time we went to this place, there was a little bit of a reservation mess up.
Yes.
Which doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you, because eventually they did set us down.
And that person has been fired, I've been told.
Oh, hopefully it wasn't your fault.
No, it wasn't my fault.
I also remember the place not being much difficult to park.
Being difficult to park?
It's a little difficult to park on the street.
It's just street parking.
Yeah, but yeah. Sometimes, I don't know, I don't mind, but I don't know how often people want to walk in the middle of the night in Coral Gables, especially when you get out and it's a little later.
It's not that bad.
It's not bad, but it's not ideal parking. So there's the little things. And I remember the chairs being pretty uncomfortable as well. But who cares, man?
Jeez.
That food.
Yeah.
It is sensational. Mm-hmm. The flavors. I don't even need to be shown
the pictures.
Pictures of what we ate so I could sort of remember.
Yes, disclosure. I told him I would be showing him the pictures before we record each segment so he can remember what we ate.
And it doesn't matter because it's just the way that he gets flavors out.
Yes, everything's a flavor bomb for sure.
In every single dish. And in full disclosure, I am not a big fan of bold flavors on every single bite because I'm a big wine guy. I go to restaurants to drink more than to eat. And when you eat food that is so bold, every single bite, every single dish, there's no break.
It's
every
true.
Single dish is spicy.
It's true.
It's spicy, but in a good way.
Yeah.
It's not just, it's sexy. It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember with every single bite, His flavors are just insane. How well they're developed.
I know, and I often wonder if I with flavors like that, I always get scared that I'm going to get a little bit of palate fatigue after a while because every dish is so, you know, in your face with the flavor. But no, it if anything, I just can't stop eating.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is. Part of it is that it is a small restaurant with small dishes, and right. we don't need as much. Every dish packs a punch, but they're not big dishes. I mean, usually we share just for the listeners as well. Usually I don't even look at the menu, and I hardly ever look at food menus. Brenda pretty much orders the food, and it's usually pretty much the entire menu.
Well, menus like this, yeah. Right. This time, just everything I'll list is what we ordered this last time. This time it was just for two. But I recommend any of these. We had the fried chicken. The cucumber and long bean salad was a surprise. I did not think that was going to be interesting. And of course it was. That Korean style steak tartare. Oh. It comes with the rice, and you have to like mix it all together, and the nori crackers, oh, so good. The pork pot stickers, the wonton and brodo, that was your favorite.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
It was like a parm broth.
And also mostly because it is probably one of the most tame dishes that he did that night. That's so true. It does kind of give you a break
but
from
it's
all
phenomenal.
The flavors. But yeah, it's yeah. absolutely phenomenal.
The shrimp hargao, the pork steak, which I actually ended up taking home because I just could not fit anything else, even though I ordered it. But I had the best lunch the next day, of course. The shrimp noodles, and then the Hong Kong French toast, which had like peanut butter, and it's like a crisp outside of the French toast to finish. I don't care how full I get, I will always, please never take that off the menu. That was really great.
A great addition to Florida dining, South Florida dining, for yeah. sure. In a good location, Coral Gables.
It is a good location.
In my opinion, Coral Gables has kind of died down.
No,
it used to be.
It's back up.
It used to be like one of the mecca areas for South Florida dining. Then it died down forever. I mean, there was a time when we didn't even go to the Gables.
I know, but now it's back.
And I think now, yeah.
Guess who's back?
Yeah, and this to me, this one's the leader in the clubhouse.
It's really good, and
it's not expensive.
We went. I actually went to take the Palette Award because they were on my list this year. This time we took wine, and the corkage is 25. Do you think that's correct? Right?
Yeah. I mean, their wine list is not. It's not for me, for my taste. It's not large enough, and if you're gonna drink wine, at least for me, I would take my wine. But I remember one time we had cocktails, and they were quite.
We did have the cocktails the first or second time.
Yeah,
we went,
and they were quite nice.
Yeah,
as well.
That was really nice. Okay, on to Michael's Genuine. Good old Michael's Genuine in the Miami Design District recently reopened after some. Extreme remodeling, and it looks amazing the way it is now. I remember we have been going since the beginning, which I don't remember if it's 2012 or 13, but at the time Michael's Genuine was one of the very few. There was more of a ghost town, and then we stopped going for a while. Just I don't know, I guess too many restaurants to try, and
no, we didn't have we had a pretty average meal.
We did too
one
yeah.
time, and then it's
oh,
sort
true.
Of with all the restaurants popping up.
Yeah.
In South Florida, I think the last two meals that we had there were kind of like, they weren't bad, but
years and years
yeah.
and years ago. That's true. And I also did go to brunch once, and I had an issue with
right.
service. And well, anyway, that was way, way, way before. So we just stopped going because it also coincided with Miami boom of all these new restaurants popping up. And yeah, the area has certainly changed. Every time we go now, we do parking in the garage, I think, right? We rarely ever find street parking. The newly remodeled has now a revamp of the wine program. We spoke to the Somm for a while. I felt bad stealing him from the other tables a little bit.
Yeah, it's a beautiful spot now. It was always kind of quaint and comfortable, but now they've taken over the, I think it was a clothing store in the corner, and they've expanded, and the restaurant really looks
right.
quite spacious, and their outside space is still is one of the better outside areas for any restaurant in South Florida. They did a really, really good job with it.
That so here, we're not going to get into every single dish because we'll be here forever of every restaurant. So I guess we'll just highlight this time. So we went, as I said, they just reopened. I had the black truffle pizza. that was, we didn't start with that, but that's definitely one of the ones that sticks out the most in my mind. It was phenomenal. It had like three different types of cheese, piping hot. Well, you know me and cheese. And it was hearty enough. The country pate, mm-hmm. the suckling pig, which I guess every version of pork there has always been one of the constants from day one. The house-made rigatoni, which took me a while, right? Initially, I thought, oh, this is maybe a little bit too simple. And then I realized, no, you know what? This is actually pretty damn good. I think it had crab and lobster in it. And the smoked local wahoo dip that was brought out. I don't know if they bring that out. They just, for whatever reason, brought that out as a compliment. But it wasn't... Right? That wasn't like the best.
No, I like the pate the most. I think it was quite nice. I will say a couple of things. One is we supported Michael, even though we hadn't gone back to Michael's Genuine for a long time. We used to go to Cypress Room once a month.
Yes.
So, you know, we were still and still are big fans.
At the time, yeah.
Of Michael. But I think that we like Cypress Room so much better.
Cypress Room? That is true. It was Cypress Room. And then I never forget that he did an interview when he switched it to Cypress Tavern.
Oh yeah.
And then there was some interview, I forgot where, and he said something along the lines of Miami is just either not ready or they just don't understand the concept. Yeah. So, but I hated it because it was kind of like dumbing it down a little bit and, you know, to make it a little simpler for Miami. And that might have been like 2015. I don't know if I'm getting my years correct. But gosh, we used to love Cypress.
Yeah, I mean, the menu was very different. And I guess for our palates, we just like to go to Cypress. And like I said,
for your wet palate?
I mean, we definitely went probably like 10, 12 times a year to Cypress. So I used to go to Michael's a lot more when I used to be a season ticket holder of the Miami Heat. And ooh, before games, we would go there. And it was definitely a much more casual experience than Cypress.
That's true. We used to go to Michael's Genuine also as a fourth meal. Remember once in a while, we would just pop in just for the desserts?
Sure.
With Eddie.
You know, and with this particular visit, which was the first in a while, I enjoyed it. I took my wine and I ended up not opening it. Look at the menu first, and if I feel like it's decently priced and I can afford to buy a bottle, then I'll support the restaurant. And a lot of these restaurants, of course, you know, charge 4 or 5 times retail, and I find that to be too much for me, especially given the fact that I sort of always go towards the more expensive wines to begin with.
Just say it, you're a wine snob.
But his list was quite nice.
It was.
And it was reasonably priced. And I ended up having a nice Rhone, bottle from Rhone, San Jose. And I think it was 2016. And I don't quite remember the price, but I think it was, I want to say like $185 or something, which for that particular bottle is actually quite reasonable. And so we drank their wine that night. And we had a good time. I mean, the restaurant, we sat in, and just full disclosure, the restaurant tends to be one of those typical, I'll say it, annoying setups where they love to do the whole inside-outside dining.
Right, which is cute now, but not in July.
Right, and they'll leave all the you're inside, but they leave all the windows open. And then I don't know if in the summer they'll do that because then it gets obnoxiously hot. But that night it was nice.
It was
really
nice.
The weather was very nice. We actually were wearing sweaters, and it was a nice night. Yeah, and we did get street parking that night.
Yeah. And then we finished with the cookie platter, which is still highly recommended. That was very good. And the pistachio fennel cake, which I enjoyed more than you did, but I really loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice menu.
I think we'll definitely be going back.
I mean, in the absence of, he's a very talented chef who's been around for a long time. And in the absence of Cypress, then yeah, we'll definitely be going back.
Cypress. You know, he used to be a chef at Cypress.
Yeah.
Who?
The guy from...
The guy?
The lady that went to work for LeBron James as a private chef?
No, that was MC Kitchen. Chef Beltran of Ariette.
Oh, really? Michael? Michael and Michael?
Michael and Michael.
Okay. They still like each other?
I think they still like each other. Yes, okay. I do. But Michael, let us know if you don't know. Just kidding. Okay. Osaka.
Oh. Brenda's big boys here.
Aw, I love Osaka. So Osaka's in Brickell. It has been one of our favorites. We've been many, many, many times, including when all the restaurants reopened. Remember, we never sit outside there. We sat outside. Actually, when they first reopened, was that the first restaurant we went to? One of the very first when all the dining reopened, and they had done such a great job with the sanitizer, and they had spread out all the tables, and you know, that I guess that false sense of safety, but it's not the case now. It's back to
Osaka's the one where we sit by the window, and all the way on the left was the whole sushi bar, right? Where you could have the experience with the wine right at the entrance. The wine cellar. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, here are the pictures of the food. So anyway, so this time we went, I also went to, besides that I wanted to go dine to deliver the award, because they were on my list as well this year. They made the list of my Palette Awards of my top 21 restaurants. If you haven't heard that episode or read the article, go back and listen or read it. But this time I felt the staff, there was a little bit of a chaotic energy within the staff. I felt everyone was overwhelmed. Our waiter was good. He was on top of things, which I guess it's all that matters. But there was something, I don't know, off, a little off with.
Well, but you even said to me a few months ago, I don't remember where we were, and there was a disaster, a comedy of errors, and you noticed that, and you said to me that we have to be a lot more patient,
exactly,
because of COVID.
And, right. You know, because everyone's short-staffed. Not everyone. I don't know if that's the case anymore.
Yeah. Well, we've been able to get some inside info, right, from some of these owners of these restaurants that you talk to. And even though they're not, quote-unquote, short anymore.
I know.
These are not people that have made... These weren't waiters or whatever, you know, before COVID. They just stumbled onto those jobs now.
Right, so there's a lot of training still going on, and a lot of learning with, even if you do get the help.
Right.
And I do always say that. I'm just talking about this because this is a restaurant that we go to often. And for the first time in a couple of years, I noticed it was a little different. But our waiter was good. And I want to talk about some of the things that we ordered, which... You know, this is very much,
menu.
Oh my gosh, we had so many. And the thing with Osaka, very much like Uchi, which we have to go back to. Here at Osaka, every time I have a bite, it's just one of those where like, just close your eyes. Everything is so good. I need a moment kind of a thing. This time they had a special, we definitely don't do many rolls, but they had a special, which was scallops, Hokkaido scallops and foie on top, which they did the whole, I don't care about the whole like, torching on the side, table side, whatever. But that ended up being really good. And usually we get the tuna foie, which is also exceptional. We had the nori durai, which was, this one actually was not my favorite. The salmon, shrimp, avocado, and crispy nori. This was just kind of okay. The lime salmon, very good. The hotate truffle, which again is Hokkaido scallop with a truffle butter and lime. That's always on my order. The Niku tartare, also exceptional, and it has the cured foie on top, which they also like to do the torching on the table side, but this one really is worth it. The pata mochero, also one of my favorites, and this time I also took it to go because I didn't want to overstuff myself. I was so full, and it traveled very well, thankfully, and I had the, again, yet another great lunch at home. And then I tried, this was new to me, the Suspiro Nikkei. The description is lemongrass manjar, soursop ice cream. Honey, what is soursop in Spanish? Do you remember?
Oh, no, yeah, I don't remember. We laughed about it, but I don't know.
I didn't laugh about it.
I don't remember.
Maybe I laughed at you about it. Wanawana.
Oh, okay. Well, we laughed because of the whole...
Yes, my Argentinian husband is not very familiar with Wanawana.
Nope.
Like the Cubans are, but it's okay. It's okay.
I hear there's a restaurant in Palm Beach named that, no?
Yes, Juan Urbano's.
But that's what it's called,
right? We love you, Tim, if you're listening. It's Wanawana. Okay, side note. Anyway, so soursop ice cream, so Wanawana ice cream and Peruvian chocolate soil, which is not really soil. It's just like crumbled chocolate. Wine. This time we did not have wine.
You're not allowed. Oh, as far as bringing.
Right. I actually don't remember. Did I can't believe I didn't.
I had a mule.
I didn't nice. Take pictures of
the drinks.
Of the drinks.
No, we had good drinks. I had.
We
a,
did. They're very good.
I had a mule.
Pisco.
So
is it yours. Pisco?
No, not pisco.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough restaurant for me. I have grown to really like this type of dining because it's really probably my wife's favorite.
One of my favorites.
And, well, given your choice of restaurants over and over again, I think this type of cuisine is your favorite
yes,
right now.
Nikkei, like the Peruvian Japanese style.
It's a tough restaurant for me for a number of reasons. It's very, very, it ends up always being very, very expensive. Point of reference, if we order a bottle of wine, you're not allowed to bring your own wine to this
Correct.
Restaurant. So if we order a bottle of wine, you're easily walking out of there with a $600-$700 bill. And that's a lot of money. And also the food is not always, it doesn't always accompany the wine well, this type of cuisine. Although I've grown to like it. Osaka does it right. Like there's that restaurant that we both kind of like. What's the other one? The one with that side entrance around there that's like all show with really very little substance on the food.
Same style?
Yeah, the one that our friend loves.
Novikov?
Right. Is, okay. is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
So Osaka is
Wait, mierda.
So,
can I say that?
So Osaka is,
sorry.
Is the
sorry,
opposite.
Sorry, Novikov lovers. Sorry, not sorry.
So Osaka does it right? Osaka it still has a nice vibe to it. But at the end of the day, Brandon and I will always talk about the food and the vibe after. And this place, their food is outstanding. It really is. They still deliver that vibe if you're looking for that crap. I just like to go to eat dinner with my wife and have a nice time at a clean restaurant with some nice...
it's beautiful, too.
Right.
And we've discovered a bottle that Well, there's a couple that we always order. The Dariush. What's the white one? What's that bottle?
Yeah, the... I'll remember
speak.
So we've had, we've had that as well.
But those are like our go-to every time we go there. We'll do.
Yeah, I usually get the Las Piedras from Angelina Zapata. I think it's $300 on the menu. It's about twice as much as retail, so it's not horrible. It's a nice bottle. We just actually had it. Remember in Colorado 2 days ago. But this time we did cocktails. So I think we were wined out
from
quite a bit of drinking. Yeah. And the cocktails were nice. I had a mule. I think it was a vodka mule with some ginger beer and some lime, and it was quite nice. And I don't remember what you had, but you liked it. I remember you liking it.
I've always liked the cocktails. I just never do enough.
Solid restaurant. Very good Miami vibe if you're into that, but accompanied by outstanding food, which is not always the case. A lot of times these restaurants that go for the vibe forget about the chef, and they forget about... We have to do the... There were some people eating at the counter, so it looks like they have some...
They do have an omakase. I'm weary of it. But yeah, I guess I should try it.
Big restaurant, packed to the rim. It's always a good restaurant to go to.
Awesome. Up next, Fiola. Oh, Fiola. Fiola was definitely on my top 21 restaurants list. One of my top five. Also in Coral Gables. Do we live there? Because it feels like I live at Fiola.
The address is Coral Gables, but that's not really Coral. I mean, that's not what I...
It's on the outskirts.
Yeah.
I really suggest going with a group here, right? Because the more you go, the more things you can order for the table. I love everything about Fiola, as I have described over and over in the Palette Awards episode. Food, the service, the wine service. This last time they had a promotion, which is not... They don't usually have this, but they had Dom Perignon by the glass. It was a promo.
Your glass.
And then you got to choose your glass, which was kind of cheesy, but in a fun way, I guess. And they also have now this is the restaurant where we always struggle because we go on a weekend and we want to take our wine.
Well, for a long time, if I recall, they didn't allow wine, period, whether it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever. And then they kind of started allowing wine during the week. And, you know, for us, this is another restaurant with an outstanding wine list.
Oh, yeah.
And service. The gentleman, what's his name again?
Daniel,
he is outstanding.
Daniel Bishop. I did a profile on him on the Wet Palette under my Some Like It Hot series.
For the listeners, if you're wine drinkers, you should really find in Brenda's web, you should find the section where she interviews Psalms, because you really do learn a lot about what goes into being one and building a wine list. And this is the restaurant. This is one of the better wine lists in South Florida. And also, rather than typical Florida fashion where prices go up and up and up and up, Fiola actually did a 180. And at some point, right during the pandemic, they started actually lowering the prices of wine. And you can get some beautiful bottles for less than 100% markup. I mean, you can get a Ducru that goes for $280 a total wine, and you can pay $320 there, and that is a bargain when you consider that you're at a restaurant. And
but they do have something for everyone at every price point.
Oh yeah, let me be clear. We go to a lot of restaurants. We spend the weekend in Colorado and didn't order a single wine over $50, and they were all great.
Right.
But when you go to Fiola, you take advantage of, it's a special night when you go to Fiola. We don't get to go often.
This last time we went with I think it was just four of us, but we ordered like it was six of us. And this time we did something a little different, which you can also do if you call ahead or contact them ahead of time, which is either have them make you a chef's tasting menu, which I know some friends have done, or you just basically just let the chef decide for you. I guess you could just tell him how much you want to spend and they'll put something together. So this time it was just more of a laid back, you know, we've been there so many times, just kind of surprises. And we had... not the whole menu because the menu is huge, but the Royal Red Shrimp, which is a new dish there. I love, love, love that one. It has an aioli that I love. It's a spicy pepper aioli. This time I had very little, but the first time I had a lot. So note to self, the next time I have to ask for like a side of it so I could drench everything in it, but it's excellent. It comes with a squid ink crisp, like a very dainty, it's just like a beautifully put together dish. We had the Kaluga caviar, bluefin tuna tartare, the lobster ravioli, which is a staple. If you go and you don't want, it's kind of a small dish, I think, for an entree, even though it's listed under an entree. So I like getting that as an appetizer for the table just to kind of have everyone try it. The fisherman's black cod brodetto, that's a new dish.
That was nice.
That was very nice. Mm-hmm. And then they always have, if truffles are in season, they'll have that as a special. And this time they had the Alba truffle. They had a spaghetti alla chitarra and parm.
Yeah, it was insane.
Oh my God, that was delicious. Yeah. The charred Spanish octopus, and then the aguarello risotto arolo. And a new item on the menu, which was a special when I went, and I posted it on my Instagram, and I'm not going to take credit for going on the menu, but everyone kept asking the chef, is that going to be permanently on the menu? And now it is. It's the Wagyu short rib lasagna. Excellent, excellent dish. And then, of course.
Yeah, the best chocolate cake and...
Well, one of the best. It's between that one and Surf Club. And
yeah, Fiola's not for everyone. You know, typically speaking, you go to an Italian restaurant and people will say these prices are insane. You know, how am I gonna? You know, a plate of pasta should be $20. But this is at another level. This is at the highest level of an Italian restaurant. And if you're willing to sit through a dinner like that, you will learn so much what Italian food can be. It really is outstanding. The only restaurant in South Florida that actually competed with Fiola was the one that closed. The one that's now next to the Surf Club. But before it was Le Siranus. So Le Siranus was really the only restaurant at that level that competed in every way with Fiola. And of course, it's no more.
Well, then it was Lido Restaurant. It got converted. And the chef was working over the menu. But now chef left. And now Michael White took it over. Mm-hmm. So we have to wait and see.
No,
so,
but I mean, just the strict Italian. I don't know what it is now. I don't know what Michael White's not same. An Italian.
Right, but oh Michael, my God, hello, Marea.
But Marea had a lot of fish. And
Marea's
so
Italian.
Far. Yeah, they were in New York.
The same. Yes.
Okay.
AKA one of your favorites, you forgot?
Yeah. Yeah. No, Fiola is great. Fiola is an outstanding all around, right? It's not you. Parking is easy. Service is always impeccable. Daniel is amazing. If you're into wines, I mean, I don't don't have time to talk about our first experience when we met him, but remember that we hated the wine that we ordered, and he was so amazing. He started giving us basically a tasting. Remember?
He's phenomenal.
And so,
well, what happens when you find service or, you know, chefs or somms that are just so passionate about everything they do, and you're interested, obviously, right? You're not just there to sit and eat and leave. And I always talk about that for us, it's the whole experience is important. But when you find passionate people in the industry like that, and then you get to sit there and talk and discuss and geek out, and for us on our side, learn, right? Because we're just professional eaters, but we're not on the other side. But just to learn and geek out and ask questions, and I love that. And we definitely stole him for, like, I don't know, a good 20 minutes from the other tables.
But he's passionate. He likes to talk about it. Great restaurant. So Fiola's very well deserving of a top 5 spot. The owner's always there as well. I don't think we've ever gone with him not being there, which shows his passion for the restaurant.
Which was, initially I was weary of them when they first opened, because I said, oh, here comes another outside concept trying to infiltrate Miami.
But right. For those that don't know, Fiola is in DC.
DC, and they have a Michelin star. Right. And local, and the new chef is local. Well, Danny is an import, but he's definitely in Miami now. All right, moving on. Oh, wait, I said the chocolate cake and the tiramisu.
Yeah, we were 4 people, so we were able to enjoy a second dessert. But if it's just you and me, we always go for the chocolate cake, which is, you know, insane.
We even take it to go. Okay, up next, new. You don't remember to bring up the pictures?
No.
Okay.
I think by your notes. I sort of remember, but I need a refresher.
Here's your refresher. Okay, while I showed him the pictures. This was the first time I went with the Hubs, and we ended up enjoying it. It was a little weird at first. Street parking. Did you see the pictures?
Mm-hmm.
Street parking. We did have a reservation. Not one single empty table. That restaurant was packed. But our table was really tiny. And since we always overorder, I worried that we weren't going to have space. But they ended up coursing everything out. Fine, nothing ever.
Yeah, we always get worried when the waiters are like, oh, don't worry, just give us your whole order and we'll course it out. Or you even order 3-4 appetizers and then you're like, oh my gosh, should I have done that, or should we go one at a time? They're like, no, we'll course it out. And usually in typical South Florida fashion, you get 8 dishes at the same time.
Right, you'll get dessert first.
But they did a nice job. But
they did.
But they had to, because the table was smaller than the little...
It really was.
They're like a cocktail table, really.
Yeah. And it was a little bit of a rocky start. I know... We didn't have anyone at our table for like 10 minutes. It took us like 20 minutes to order the wine. We ended up ordering wine off their list, right? We did.
Yeah. I didn't take wine that night. I remember noticing that, I think this is the restaurant that we sort of noticed that it was basically one person attending to every table, which is terrible.
But it could be that same thing we were talking about before. Maybe the rest of the people aren't training. And she was the only one who knew.
She was good, though. I asked her. I didn't. This is a very funky wine list. And by funky, I mean wines from very, very small producers. So sometimes very difficult to actually recognize anything.
More of a natural vibe.
Yeah. So I basically asked her some questions. And then we chose a rather young 2020 wine vintage, which, you know, it's not the greatest. But this restaurant did not have... wines with older vintages. So, but it was quite nice. You know, it's a very casual dining experience. So I didn't really mind having a wine that wasn't, you know, spectacular.
So their thing is the natural wines, and they actually have a wine bar nearby, which we could probably go and like do a tasting
across the street, I think, right?
And well, it's where the old new used to be. It's tiny. That's definitely not our style of drinking wine, but this wine was actually okay, and it went great with with everything that we ordered. We really enjoyed it. So just know that there's also new wine, which is nearby. For food, we started with the chorizo ibérico. Nice and simple. We should have probably ordered some cheese with that. But again, it was a rocky start. We didn't. A flounder tartare, the pan con tomate, which I love. Honey, where's my favorite pan con tomate in Miami? Do you remember?
God. She asked me the same question that night, and I...
A bazaar.
Oh, okay.
A bazaar. Because it comes with a pan cristal, which I love. This was not... I don't think it was pan cristal, but it was really good. The pan con tomate was the bread was crisp and the tomato was cold, and it was just a perfect combo. My favorite dish, one of the two favorite dishes that night, was the pan seared foie. You know, I love a good seared foie. And it comes with a honey bread and apples and raspberries, but like in liquid form and different textures. So everything's kind of layered. And an almond powder. It was a dream. What a beautiful dish. And then we were surprised by the steak.
Very nice.
Right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't even, I don't have the price list here with me. It wasn't even expensive.
No, I think it was like $38 or something.
I think it was much less. I think it was like 20 something.
Maybe I have whatever. A picture.
But no, but because I remember, I don't even remember the cut. It was from Australia.
I think it was one of those hybrid cuts where they sort of take a weird cut to the cow, and they'll kind of join two cuts into one, because it was I remember, isn't this the one that I sent the picture to my dad, and my dad was immediately immediately told us, and it's
said you're at a Spanish restaurant. It's I do have the menu picture here. It was $27, which
great. Yeah.
Well, and the reason I say this is because for $27 I did not think I was going to have a steak where you take one bite and every bite we could say, wow, this is so good. Yeah. And we just kept like fighting for the bite.
Very tender, non-veiny. The steak was perfectly cooked. That and the foie for me were the best in show. I didn't like the poached egg too much.
Same. Well, what you didn't like, I've had that poached eggs before, but this time it's poached eggs. It's a potato foam with jamón ibérico and black truffle. But I think this time it was a little runny. Like,
yeah,
more soupy than last time. It was creamier.
It was soupy, and there wasn't enough ham or enough jamon to be able to give the actual dish some texture. So it was basically very runny for my taste.
I think it was, a texture thing this time. But the taste was there. And then for dessert, we had the sponge cake, which is a olive oil sponge cake. I love me an olive oil anything cake. So good. And a hazelnut chocolate ganache, which was just these two little unassuming scoops, tiny scoops of the ganache, and we just kept going at it. It was delicious.
Yeah. I like the restaurant overall. I mean, it's one of those restaurants that I wouldn't go again unless we have the ability to go like at 6:30, 7 p.m.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in there.
It was really full.
When we got there, it wasn't full. There were still some tables, and we were disappointed that they set us in a very tiny table by the entrance. But then we quickly understood why they did that, and that's because the restaurant got packed rather quickly. So for me, because of the space being so small and their shortage of servers, and maybe it was just that one night, but that night it was ridiculous. This lady, I think I tipped her like 35%. I mean, this lady did an amazing job. I would only go like as early as possible, but the food was outstanding. Outstanding. I thought the food was solid. Solid. Yeah. We had a good January. Now I'm looking at the
list. I know. And there's restaurants I didn't put on this list.
Right. Sure.
But these are the ones I thought we should talk about. Okay, moving on. Okay, we have two more to go. Mandolin, always with no reservations available. I think every time I looked, they're one of those restaurants, they do the whole, you can come at 5 p.m. or you can come at 10 p.m. And I hate that. So I think it was November. I'm not sure when they released the reservations, but I think I was so annoyed by it. And then I just scrolled and scrolled and scrolled until I found a day that they had a 7:30. I forgot what time our reservation was. Yeah, 7:30. And I made it without knowing if we could make it. It was midweek, and we did. And Mandolin is one of those restaurants that I have been obviously aware that it's there, that it's good. No one can believe that I had still not gone, but I don't like outside dining usually.
In Florida,
right. And so for whatever reason, I would always remember Mandolin in July, and I would promise myself I would make a reservation in October, and then, of course, I would forget until next summer. When I would remember Mandolin again, until this time I finally did it. And we went. It is absolutely gorgeous. It's, like I said, mostly outside. It's a little bit of Greece in Miami. You don't feel like you're in it's actually in the design district outskirts, but you don't feel like you're in that part of town at all. Also very full. gorgeous.
It's good. It's a nice setup. Driving there is passing another restaurant that's almost impossible to get a reservation for, which is Boya Day. They're very close to each other, right? Like blocks away.
Yeah.
Close. Parking is awkward. They do have, it turns out, a little lot a block away, but there's no signs to tell you that that little valet lot belongs to them.
Well, actually, so, I think that belongs as a whole to the design district. I think what they've tried to do is provide parking different areas for visitors, for tourists that are going to the boutiques. And then this happens to be the popular one since it's closest right. to Mandalay. So I don't think it belongs just to them.
It's on a very busy street. Correct. No parking availability on that street. So you sort of have to park on the sides or go just south of the restaurant. And there's that area where they do valet. I don't remember how much it was, but it wasn't expensive at all. So parking turns out to be pretty easy. We got there a little early, so we had to wait.
Right.
And we waited kind of on the street side. They do have some chairs there, and it was quite nice. And even though it's on a busy...
It's weird. It's nice, but it's... Yeah. I mean, I definitely don't let my guard down.
It's not Coral Gables, right? The area is not the greatest, but...
And here you were complaining about walking Coral Gables at night.
Well, Coral Gables has a history of criminal activity at night, but...
It does?
Oh, yeah. So, but... Once they walked us in, it's really a striking outdoor restaurant, packed. Another restaurant that was absolutely packed to the rim.
It's true. And I always wonder when these restaurants say, well, there's no 7 o'clock reservation available. And then I hate when I get there. And then, of course, they're all empty. But no, this one is true. It really was packed.
The wine list is very, very interesting. I looked at it before we went to the restaurant. So instead of taking my own wine, I was going to take advantage of ordering from their wine list. They have a very extensive wine list. One of the most extensive ones I've seen in a long time. I mean, it's pages and pages of wines.
I think for the casual nature of the restaurant, it was right. unexpected, at least for me.
Well, they had a lot of natural wines, which we don't usually do, but we're always willing to try anything. And it turns out I have kind of grown to really, really love this Rhone Saint-Joseph area wines. So anything from that area, we just talked about, I don't know which restaurant we ordered that wine at, which was the same from the same region of Rhone. And so when we got to Mandolin and I saw one, this one was the Montrat.
Oh, I think it was at Michael Genuine.
Right. But this one was a Montrat, which is the story with the grower that he's doing natural wine and so forth. So we tried it and I thought it was great. Like really, really good.
But again, it didn't fight the food. It's...
Yeah, Rhone, wines from Rhone are really beautiful, very soft. They're sort of softer than a Bordeaux and half the price. It's really a nice option. And Brenda will talk about the food, but before she gets there... You know, it's a great restaurant when we made a reservation to come back while we're eating dinner.
That is true. That is true. Well, I mean, we do that often, but we don't do it often at the same restaurant, right? So we'll go to a restaurant with friends, we order food, we drink wine, and while we're eating that food, we're talking about the next reservation, and we usually make that reservation at the table, but never for the same one. It's usually like...
Yeah, and this one... We made it for four. So if you're listening and you want to join us, let us know.
Just in case. I just took advantage. I said, okay, we'll just...
And they didn't have tables available, but the waiter... I don't think it was the waiter. I think it was...
One of the managers
who brought the wine busted out his iPad, and I guess he... You know, he found space for us.
Oh, found space, quote, in March.
So we want to go back before the weather switches back to summer, so...
Right, and then I won't go back till October, November, right?
I don't blame you. I don't like to eat in 90-degree weather either.
Although they do have a bunch of fans, and it is shaded. They have beautiful trees, and some of the areas are... I mean...
Maybe.
There's only one way to find out, right? Yep, we have to go back.
Yep.
So the food, we had an eggplant starter, we had the grilled octopus, a cheese saganaki, which was my favorite. It was kind of like an Argentinian provoleta, right?
It
came with that sizzling pan. Oh, something about that cheese sizzling in that pan. It makes me so happy. The mussels with white wine, the manti dumplings, which is the minced with the minced beef and a garlic yogurt, the lamb chops over the orzo pilaf. For me, there was nothing fancy about this plating. It was just literally the lamb chop and just on the plate kind of thrown together. But it was so perfectly
cooked.
Yeah,
the presentation on that dish wasn't great.
But, on any of them. And nothing here was really presented or plated.
And surprisingly, we've had so many average lamb chops over the years.
It's true. And I always keep ordering lamb because I love it. But here, it just, not that it plating, pretty plating makes a dish, right? It tastes better. But it's just, it felt more to me like a home-cooked meal. Like, here you go. Here's your lamb with the rice. And I don't know. There was something warm about that I loved. And then we ended with the baklava, which was also exceptional.
It's a great menu. I'm glad we're going back with people.
With people? Did we invite somebody?
Well, we have two spots.
You just invited the listeners to come
will.
With us.
But it's just like the wine list, the menu is quite large, really, really big menu. And to be able to have another couple join us and be able to order more, more of their food so we can try is great because everything we had was really, really well done.
I actually don't think the menu is that big. I think it's just that we wanted to order so many more things and it was just you and I and we couldn't.
It's big enough where we would go three, four times before we would be able
True.
To go
I guess
that
and
menu.
There's just a lot of small dishes, so I guess we could do a lot of combinations. Right. So mandolin, yes. I think this whole episode today is going to be positive. I don't think there's anything that we're not recommending today.
Not much to bitch at. And I love bitching, but nope.
I know. We'll have to save the sarcasm for next episode. Okay, and last... Sunny's Steakhouse. Oh, how I love thee. This is in Little River. We took friends who were very confused as to where we were taking them because they had no idea where we were in Miami.
Neither did you.
Well, that's right. I wasn't driving, but I've already been there. I already know. I won't spoil it too much, but it really is in the middle of nowhere. And it just, once you get there and you walk in, it's just this magical space anchored by a tree with twinkle lights, and there's something magical about that space, isn't it? Something beautiful.
It's a nice space. Yeah, absolutely. Another outdoor
That's true.
Another only outdoor spot, just like Mandolin.
That is true.
Nowhere to hide. So another one of those where you have to take advantage of good weather.
Yes, go now.
I don't know about magical. I mean, we've been
the space,
in California.
Everything.
We've been to these outdoor restaurants that are just
focus on Miami. We're talking about Miami.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely also improved from the first
time
we were there. The tables were better put together, right?
I think they still had a lot of the picnic tables, but this time they've added white tablecloths to most of their tables, I think. Yeah. And the service here is always so friendly, and everyone's just so eager to help and talk up the menu and explain everything to you. And here, they're definitely not having a shortage of any training because everyone here that we encountered was on point with enough knowledge and enthusiasm. I love that. I love when you get enthusiasm from the service because you get,
We had the same lady this time around, right?
So no.
It wasn't the same lady?
No.
So they're both enthusiastic?
They're all enthusiastic.
It's a really interesting spot. So the first thing that you notice is in the back of the restaurant, patio type, again, it's all open, is the kitchen. Right. And remember, it's kind of like a fenced in area where they built a kitchen out of nothing. I mean, they don't even have, what is it that they don't have? Which they can't, they cannot boil water.
Right. Well, they don't.
Because they don't have a cooktop. Right. So they make everything based on this one big oven. Like a
pizza because
oven.
I was asking about the pastas because this is by the same peeps from Jaguar Sun, which we also love in downtown Miami.
Right.
So I always ask, do you have any pastas on the menu today? Because I love their pastas at Jaguar.
Right. So we go there. This is our second time. Ordered the same wine, the 2008 Rioja Viña Tondonia from Rioja. Beautiful
Delicious.
Wine. If you've never had this wine, Viña Tondonia is a beautiful, but the reserve. It has to be the reserve. It's a beautiful wine, Spanish wine from Rioja. You can get it at Total Wine or whatever for $48. This restaurant is 90 something, so it's a nice markup for Florida dining, and it's very, very enjoyable. And as it happens quite a bit in a lot of these restaurants where they keep these wines on a counter at 90 degrees, and very annoying to get this room temperature wine in Florida, where room temperatures in Florida are very hot.
Yeah.
They do have a wine fridge, and the wine was very, very well kept and very refreshing when you're sitting outside and drinking a red wine with your meal.
It was exceptional. Like the food. This time, or every time,
here. Parker House Rolls.
Yes. Here at Jaguar, you have to have the Parker House Rolls with the honey butter. This was new to me, the Wagyu beef tartare. I don't think we had ever had that. It was, again, just, I'm not going to go into detail, but it was all exceptional. The Caesar salad, right? Just the little things. Every inch of that had dressing, and it was perfect. The striped bass, the filet, the Rohan duck breast. Oh my God, that was so good.
That's the one that you had. Yeah.
Oh, yes, and y'all kept stealing from me. The Kurabuta pork chop, the hanger steak, and then we had the sides, which those were just okay, right? The loaded fingerlings and duck fat potatoes. Yeah. It's just the stars there were all the proteins for
sure. Yeah, we went with a couple that's they're not big time eaters, right? They just kind of learn from us, and they enjoy our passion for it, and they join us whenever they can for dinner. So we sort of over-ordered.
Yeah.
And
over-ordered, but ate every bite.
Yeah, well, they can eat. So that's good. So we...
Those are the best kind of friends, the ones who eat.
Yeah, we were going to... Remember, this is the one that we were going to do two entrees for the table, and we ended up doing an entree because we couldn't decide, so every person chose a different entree.
We did four entrees.
Right. Yeah. I chose the hanger steak, which I thought, as good as it was the most underwhelming of the four, just because at the end of the day, it's just a hanger steak.
I mean, it was great. It's just that
the fish was outstanding.
It's just that for me, the duck was the best.
Well,
best in show.
Yeah, the pork chop was very nice too. So,
and then, I think last time I had the pork chop. So then we ended with the sundae. We had the banana ice cream. Well, you don't like banana, but banana ice cream. One portion was the banana ice cream, and then the other one was made with the espresso ice cream with salted caramel. And our server drenched it, remember? We're like, can you add a little more? And he literally tilted the whole thing over. It was so good. Delicious.
I mean, I don't know what their plan is. You know, once Jaguar Sun, I think Jaguar Sun's already open, right?
I think it's closed for now.
Okay. Are they remodeling or something?
I don't know.
But hopefully it'll stick around again during the summer.
I think the plan is for it to stick around.
I mean, during the summer, they'll struggle because it really is a very large spot with very little shade.
I don't think they'll struggle. I think it's us because Miami, every time we go somewhere, a lot of people in Miami don't care. We care.
We'll struggle then.
We'll struggle.
You know, unlike Mandolin, there isn't that much shade.
If anything, it's because of the rain that might be challenging because they have to keep a lookout and make sure everything's dry. Yeah. But it's worth a visit. And double check the address, though. Last time I knew where I was going, but had I not, and had I followed the Resi address, it would have sent me to Jaguar Sun, which was in downtown Miami. So just double check that you have the correct address.
Yeah,
you
not go. not the greatest area also, but... As often is the case, it's one of those great finds, a great restaurant.
Little gem, hidden gem.
They do have parking next to it. They took over a lot, and there's plenty of parking. So, yeah, very much enjoy that.
Well, honey, thank you so much for joining me and going through all these restaurants. We didn't even bicker once.
No, we had a good lineup.
What is going on? Who are we?
I'm sure we'll bicker plenty very, very soon.
Okay, well, thank you so much for tuning in to this latest episode. As usual, make sure you follow me on all my social media. I am mostly active daily on Twitter and Instagram. That's at The Wet Palette. And that's it. Thank you so much. Ciao.
Bye, everyone.